Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from a socially distant place, in my home in Alexandria, Virginia, just across the river from Washington, D.C. You know, it's funny, we started doing these shows remotely last year, at the end of the year. Who knew that that would be essential to get me out of the radio show and on to you, both on Facebook Live and on the broadcast here. I've been watching a lot of Donald Trump lately, and I don't know whether to tell you that or to apologize. Weirdly, it's been amusing. And again, I don't know whether to apologize for that or not. The man is so incompetent and so full of himself that it's actually been an extraordinary thing to witness. Think if you were president of the United States, what would be your priorities? Okay, it would be saving lives. That's got to be number one priority, saving the most American lives. And then number two priority, getting the economy working, right? Making sure that people don't lose their livelihoods, making sure that people who have to stay inside get checks so that they can survive economically. And what you'd worry about rent, and you worry about mortgage, you'd worry about small business, all of that. And we can, you know, you might even talk about the conflict between protecting people's health and protecting the economy. What you wouldn't be thinking is like Donald Trump. Now, take yourself in the mind of Donald Trump. Your goal is, well, you don't really give a damn about the American people, and you really don't care about the economy except so much as it affects your reelection. You really want to do what you can to profit from it, whatever you can to make a buck from it, and whatever you can do to make sure that you have no responsibility but total authority. And that's the thing that you find clear in all of this. No responsibility, yet total authority. And we're going to play some clips that Donald Trump has been saying recently. He, of course, is all over the map. He doesn't really seem to understand how government works. He seems to think that he has complete control over all of the nation states, not really realizing how our Constitution works, but no authority. Excuse me, total authority, no responsibility. It gets confusing. It's very hard to say, I control everything and nothing's my fault, right? Think how hard that is to do. I mean, you can say, I control everything, but then you have to be like Harry Truman. The buck stops here. Hey, it's your fault when things go wrong. Or you have to say, hey, you know, that's up to the governors. They can do what they want. Don't blame me. But then how do you assert that you're king of the world? Well, Donald Trump has tried to have it both ways, to assert that he is completely in power and he has total authority over everyone, but nothing that happened he did wrong. And I'm not so sure how clear in his own mind, but I think he has a fairly simplistic mind, so that may be the issue there. In any case, as he went through his various media appearances, it just got weirder and weirder and weirder. Let's start with his assertion of total authority over, over everything.
If a governor issued a stay-at-home
order. When you say my authority, the president's authority.
Not mine, because it's not me. This is when somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And that's
total.
What it's got to be.
Total. Your authority is total.
It's total. It's total. And the governors
total.
Know that.
So if
the governors know that. Now you have a couple of bands of excuse me, excuse me. You have a couple.
Could you rescind that order?
You have a couple of bands of Democrat governors, but they will agree to it. They will agree to it. But the authority of the president of the United States having to do with the subject we're talking about is total.
It's been states that have closed, ordered schools closed. It's been states that have ordered businesses like restaurants.
That's because I let that happen. Because I would have preferred that. I let that happen. But if I wanted to, I could have closed it up. But I let that happen. And I like the way they've done it.
Your parents have to take cut states and say, I order you to open your schools. I order you to force kids to be able to go.
Yes, Mr. President. Following up on that, there are two consortiums of states today, California, Oregon, Washington on the West Coast, northeastern states, totally representing about 100 million people, who said they're going to cooperate and decide when to reopen.
Well, they can decide, but...
Does that undermine what you're trying
no,
to do?
No, not at all. Let me just tell you, very simple. I'm going to put it very simply. The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do, which is very powerful. The President of the United States calls the shots. If we weren't here for the states, you would have had a problem in this country like you've never seen before. We were here to back them up. And we've more than backed them up. We did a job that nobody ever thought was possible. It's a decision for the President of the United States. Now, with that being said, we're going to work with the states because it's very important. You have local governments. They're pinpointed. It's really, you talk about, it's a, like a microchip. They're pinpointed. We have local government that hopefully will do a good job. And if they don't do a good job, I'd step in so fast. But no, they can't do anything without the approval of the President of the United States.
Stop the tape there. So, okay, so they can't do anything without the approval of the president. But why do they do all these things that you told them not to do? They just did it on their own. Well, because I let them do it. I let them do it. Yeah, it looks like they acted without my authority, but really, I let them do it. Well, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. The sun came up this morning because I let it happen. Now, you might think the sun just rises every day. No. I control the sun. It's funny. It actually brought me back to a time when my sister and I were walking along the beach. And I'm about, 6 years old, and she's about 9 years old. And we're walking along the beach, and the waves, of course, are going in and out. And my sister starts saying, wave come in, wave go back. Wave come in, wave go back. And you know, I was only six, but I said to her, Janet, you're not controlling the waves. And she said, oh, sure I am. Waves go in, waves go back. And I said, why don't you say waves go back twice in a row? She's like, no, I don't want to. Wave goes in, wave goes back. So being a precocious child, I waited a few minutes till she stopped speaking. Noticed that the waves kept going in and out. And I said, aha, Janet, it's been 5 minutes. You haven't said wave goes in, wave goes out. And they've been doing it anyway. And she said, I put it on automatic. I still remember that. I had no answer for that. That's what Trump is doing. I have complete and total authority over all the governors, but I choose not to exercise it. And they can do whatever they want because I am king and they will do what they want. But they'll do what I say. But I'll allow them. You know, I'm not saying every American has read the Constitution of the United States, but you would hope the president has. This is actually a situation where governors saved us. Governors shut down the country long before the president wanted to. And it's critical that we remember that we not let Trump try to rewrite history here. States like California, Gavin Newsom was one of the first, the biggest state in the United States, shutting down an economy that's the sixth largest economy in the world because that governor felt it would save lives. And you know what? To this day, the problem in California is way less than problems in states like New York and New Jersey because that governor acted early. Donald Trump did not. So Trump was challenged. When he said he had total authority over the states, he really didn't like the question very much. Mark, play clip two.
You said when someone is president of the United States, their authority is total. That is not true.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to write up papers on this. It's not going to be necessary because the governors need us one way or the other, because ultimately it comes with the federal government. That being said, we're getting along very well with the governors, and I feel very certain that there won't be a problem. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Has any governor agreed that you have the authority to decide when their state
I haven't asked back anybody. Because I don't, you know why? Because I don't have to. Go ahead, please.
But who told you the president has the total authority?
Enough.
Who told you the president has total authority? Enough, right? Stop asking your questions. You're embarrassing me. That's, of course, just one issue. Here's another. Take a look at the stimulus package. Have you noticed that in the stimulus package, there's a bunch of things in there designed to hand over massive amounts of taxpayer dollars to Donald Trump? That he's stealing billions of dollars for himself? Oh, I don't know that it's billions. I haven't seen his tax returns. It may only be millions. We'll talk about that after the break. And I also want to talk about the fact that Donald Trump wants to put his name on your surplus check coming from your tax dollars. The bill that Nancy Pelosi crafted to make sure that Americans don't go off an economic cliff. And Donald Trump wants to sign those checks. And in doing so, he's delaying aid to people who need it most. That story right after the break.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. So much is going on with this guy. First, of course, he wants his name printed on the stimulus checks. Now, I want you to think about this. This ain't his money, but he wants his stupid people who support him to think that Donald Trump is reaching in his pocket to give them the money. The whole idea was Nancy Pelosi's idea, actually, and she didn't negotiate with Donald Trump because, well, you can't negotiate with Donald Trump. She negotiated with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, and there's a lot of really good things in the bill. You might argue it's insufficient, but perhaps the most important thing is they took the slush fund that Donald Trump wanted, $500 billion, half a trillion dollars, basically more than Obama's budget deficits, less than Trump's budget deficits, and stick it in a pile where he alone could decide where that money went. Vladimir Putin would love to have a slush fund that large. And Nancy Pelosi said no, held out, made sure there would be some oversight. We can talk a little later on how Trump's trying to get rid of that oversight. But she also insisted, and I shouldn't just say she, it was obviously the Democrats in the House and the Senate, insisted that companies that get money have to make sure they don't fire their employees, because this isn't about companies, this is about people. In fact, you could have just given the money directly to the people, but the Republicans insisted go to companies, so the Democrats said, fine, they just can't fire people. But you may have noticed as you apply for your stimulus checks, as you waiting for them in the mail, they're a little slow. And the reason they're slow is because they had to reset all the printers. Because traditionally when you get a check from the IRS, it doesn't say President Donald J. Trump on it. It's just a check from the U.S. Treasury. But because Donald Trump wants the political power of that, of stupid people thinking that he actually wrote the check, he's delaying payments. People are going to not afford their rent payments. People are going to risk eviction in some states across the country because Donald Trump wanted to put his name on those checks. And you know what? Since he's clearly doing it for political reasons, I think it's an illegal political donation to his campaign. I think if we had a functioning government, that would be something that the Federal Election Commission could use as a fine, because he's using the processes of the federal government for political means. But you know what? That's nothing, right? When you're willing to rig an election by bribing a Ukrainian leader with U.S. taxpayer money and deny Ukraine any necessary weapons to fight against the Russians just so they make up dirt on your political opponent, merely putting your name on trillions of dollars in stimulus checks almost seems minor in comparison. So yes, your checks will be delayed. Yes, they're going to be late. Yes, people are going to struggle to live hand to mouth because Donald Trump wants you to think that he's actually giving you the money. Now, Are Trumpists really that stupid? You tell me. You know the people who support Donald Trump. Are they going to be persuaded that when they get a check that this somehow was Donald Trump's check? I mean, he did sign the law. That's true. Are all Treasury checks in the future, every tax refund you get in the future, going to have the president's name on it? Because I'll tell you this, if the president's name gets to be on the check that goes to you, maybe when you pay your taxes, you should have to pay them to Donald J. Trump, right? It should be right there on the tax statement. This money is going to be paid because of President Donald J. Trump, right? It's only fair. He can't just hand out the cash. He has to rake it in too. But how are they actually profiting from this? Oh, we'll get back to that and more right after the break.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levin.
In these troubled times, trying to figure out trying to hold our president to account. It's amazing that there's so many bad things he's doing that it's hard for the media even to get them all down, right? I mean, first there's the fact that he, unlike South Korea, didn't do the proper testing. South Korea, again, had the same first day of a COVID victim that we had back January 20th, jumped into action, tested everyone immediately. They've still done more tests per capita than we have, and they've only had a few thousand cases. We have, unfortunately, about 500,000 cases now, probably more. At the end of the day, South Korea had 200 deaths. We have 30,000 deaths, or 10 times 9/11. Remember we made a big deal out of 9/11? We used to care when 3,000 Americans, innocent Americans, were killed. Well, this is 10 times 9/11. And it's not done yet. I know Donald Trump is trying to say, well, I didn't kill millions. I didn't kill hundreds of thousands. I only killed 30,000 Americans and counting. Praise me. But as you're trying to wrap your mind around that, you're trying to wrap your mind around the fact that Donald Trump is taking the congressional stimulus package negotiated by Nancy Pelosi and trying to put his name on it. And there's more buried in that, and this has gotten almost no media attention. Buried in, he has undone back when he gave $2.5 trillion to corporations. They took away a $90 billion a special real estate tax credit because they gave them more in the rest of the bill. Well, they're undoing that. Did you know that was stuck in the bill? I didn't until I read about it in the Washington Post. It's going to be $170 billion, 80% of which will go to people who all make more than $1 million a year. So these aren't millionaires. These aren't people who have $1 million. These are people who make more than $1 million a year. Less than 3% will go to Americans earning less than $100,000 a year. It's mostly for hedge fund investors, owners of real estate, people like Donald Trump. That's right. Donald Trump and particularly Jared Kushner are going to make a windfall out of this pandemic, right? Yeah, 30,000 Americans are dead. Maybe another 10 or 20,000 are going to die too. But don't worry. Donald Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, are going to make a mint. You see, there's a $170 billion tax giveaway tailor-made for Donald Trump and Jared Kushner. Now, it's more than the amount we gave to hospitals. That was $100 billion. It's more than the amount we gave to state and local governments. And as someone who works in the legislature of a state government in Virginia, I can tell you our budget is really hurting. We had a really good budget with a massive surplus, but because we have to balance our budget, unlike the federal government, we can't print money. We have to pay a lot more out for protective equipment for hospitals to provide medical care for people, to make sure that people get unemployment aid. And at the same time, we're getting almost no tax money in because, well, people aren't working. So it's really hard on state governments, but more money than went to state governments went to this little tax break that helps people who earn more than $1 million a year who happen to have a lot of real estate. And so what's interesting is that this particular windfall is most useful for real estate businesses that lost money in 2018 and 2019. Now, actually, most real estate business did well in 2018 and 2019. Those economies are pretty strong, but Trump properties have been losing money. People don't want to go to Trump properties in D.C. and New York and Florida and New Jersey and Ireland. So he's been losing money. There will be apparently billions of dollars in taxes going to Trump and Kushner if he's as rich as he claims he is. Now, maybe his tax returns, if we ever saw them, would show that he's not, and he'll only make tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars. The point is that the president has made sure that his hand, at a time when Americans are dying, at a time when Americans don't know where their next paycheck is coming from, Donald Trump is just grabbing money hand over fist from the Treasury. And here's the funny thing. It's not even a big story in the news because there's so many other far more awful things that he's doing. Now, do you remember what the presidential son-in-law said when it came to protecting lives? So Jared Kushner, whose sole authority in hospital procurement is the fact that he married the president's daughter and is apparently in charge of now our stockpile of ventilators. Do you remember what he said about the ventilators? I mean, again, remember, this whole thing was set up by President Obama as a pandemic response. It was designed as a national stockpile. It was designed for times of emergency. We had been through pandemics before. You just didn't notice them. There was SARS, there was swine flu, there was Ebola. President Obama handled them so well that there weren't massive outbreaks in the United States. When it happened in the United States, we found out who those people were. We isolated them so they didn't spread the disease. And yes, we set up stockpiles of medical equipment, stockpiles that unfortunately were not maintained because Donald Trump, as recently as last year, decided that maintaining the stockpiles of ventilators just wasn't a worthy expenditure of the federal government. But here is Jared Kushner talking about the ventilators.
And the notion of the federal stockpile was it's supposed to be our stockpile. It's not supposed to be state stockpiles that they then use. So we're encouraging the states to make sure that they're assessing the needs. They're getting the data from their local situations and then trying to fill it with the supplies that we've given them. The same thing with the masks. So the N90.
So we got.
And instances where in cities.
The federal stockpile, it's supposed to be our stockpile. It's not supposed to be the states. It's not supposed to be for the people of New York and California and Virginia and Tennessee and Oklahoma and Hawaii and the 50 states. No, it's for us. I guess Jared has got the ventilators in case Jared gets COVID-19. Who is our stockpile? Why don't you listen to this again?
Running out, but the state still has a stockpile. And the notion of the federal stockpile was it's supposed to be our stockpile. It's not supposed to be state stockpiles that they then use. So
it's supposed to be our stockpile, the federal government stockpile. It's not supposed to be state stockpiles. It's kind of like the Federal Emergency Management Association, I guess. They're supposed to do tornado relief for the federal government, not for Floridians or Georgians or North Carolinians. No. It's only for the federals, you know, maybe DC. No, DC gets less than any state. Really crazy stuff here. When we come back, I do want to play a clip between Paula Reid of CBS, who asked the president pointedly about what he did to stop this. And he has no answer. And it's really amazing, her fortitude in asking that tough question. We'll be right back, right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. now the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
The president, even though they want to keep ventilators for themselves and not provide things to states, and even though he claims he has total authority, but the states can do whatever they want, and even though he has no constitutional basis for anything he says, he really, really wants to blame other people. For example, in the Rose Garden just 2 days ago, he decided to blame the World Health Organization for the fact that he was slow on the uptake. He's actually going to defund the organization in the world that is most useful during a pandemic. And the United States is the country that gives the most funding to the World Health Organization. He wants to defund them for his own mistakes. Let's hear what he said in the Rose Garden.
The WHO failed in this basic duty and must be held accountable. It's time, after all of these decades. The WHO failed to investigate credible reports from sources in Wuhan that conflicted directly with the Chinese government's official accounts. There was credible information to suspect human-to-human transmission in December 2019, which should have spurred the WHO to investigate and investigate immediately. Through the middle of January, it parroted and publicly endorsed the idea that there was not human-to-human transmission happening despite reports and clear evidence to the contrary. The delays the WHO experienced in declaring a public health emergency cost valuable time, tremendous amounts of time.
Okay, so he's cutting off funding for the WHO. Basically, what happened is there were reports that Donald Trump received in intelligence briefings as early as November of 2019 of this virus spreading. It's true that China kept it hidden until China itself told the world on December 31st, 2019, when there were reports of human-to-human contact. At first, in early January, China denied them and the WHO couldn't prove them. But on January 30th of this year, the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic. All right? So if Donald Trump were to say, we didn't act until January 30th because the WHO didn't declare a global pandemic, all right, WHO wasn't perfect here. But we had our first case of January 20th. So did South Korea. And they acted quickly. They got their tests available. They were already testing more people per capita to this day than we have, even though they only have a few thousand cases and we have 500,000 cases. And they have kept their death toll down to 200 something, while ours is 30,000 something. So, okay, President, fine. Did you wait till January 30th to act? No, you waited to the middle of March to act. The only thing the president did in January was, after Wuhan shut down its entire economy, the president, who was considering a travel warning, hey, please don't go to Wuhan, which I would think anyone who watched the news may have figured out was not a good idea to make a travel trip to Wuhan, China, in January. After Wuhan shut it down, he then said, all right, we're going to stop Chinese nationals from traveling from China to the United States. He didn't stop Americans from coming home. He didn't allow them to come home but still check them for a fever the way the Chinese had done. He didn't stop Europeans from coming. He didn't do much of anything. But he's very proud of the fact that he stopped Chinese nationals from coming here after January 30th. But the question is, what did he do in February, right? Here, whatever you think about what the WHO did last November, December, by January, they had made clear that we were facing a global pandemic. Why did the president wait a critical month and a half, holding campaign rallies, telling everybody this whole thing's going away? It's going to go away by April 1st. Remember that? The spring. It'll be away, go away by spring. It'll go away by Easter. Remember those promises? This is no big deal. It's one person from China. It's no big deal. So an intrepid reporter from CBS ask the president, why didn't you do anything in February? The president said, we did do stuff. And, you know, we shut down a few Chinese planes in January. She said, no, what did you do in February? The president obviously does not have an answer.
The argument is that you bought yourself some time. You didn't use it to prepare hospitals. You didn't use it to ramp up testing.
It's so disgraceful the way you said it.
So she says, now wait, during that time, you complained about the WHO, but you knew in January this was a problem. Again, South Korea ramped up testing, prepared hospitals, got protective equipment, prepared for the danger. And she says, why didn't you do that? And his answer is, you're disgraceful. You're a bad person. How dare you ask me tough, good questions? But the reporter, and this is Paula Reed of CBS, she's intrepid. She's fearless. She keeps going. I want you to hear this clip.
But the argument is that you bought yourself some time. You didn't use it to prepare hospitals. You didn't use it to ramp up testing.
You're so disgraceful. It's so disgraceful the way you said it. Let me just listen.
She says tens of thousands of Americans are dead. Who has said that to the president? I mean, think about it. Because of the president's actions, tens of thousands of Americans are dead. And how does he respond?
Unprecedented crisis.
Nobody thought we should do it. And when I did it.
Nobody thought we should do it. South Korea did it. Taiwan did it.
What did you do with the time that you bought?
What do you do when you have no case in the whole United States? You reported it. Zero cases, zero deaths on January 17th. January 30th.
What did your administration do in February with the time that your travel ban botched?
A lot. And in fact, we'll give you a list.
We'll give you a list. That's what the president says when he doesn't have an answer to anyone. What did you do in February? We'll give you a list. I don't know. I don't know that we did anything. I'm sure we did nothing. We'll give you a list. What's your authority that says that you have total authority over the governors? We'll write you a legal brief. We will. We'll give you a list. You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the list of the people in Hawaii that Donald Trump said proved that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. Remember, he's going to give us a list of their – oh, sorry, old news. Let's hit more of this exchange.
In fact, part of it was up there. We did a lot. Look. You know you're a fake. You know that.
So what he does, he attacks her, right? He has no answer. She said, what did you do in February? Oh, we'll give you a list. You're bad. You're a fake. Let's change the subject. You're a terrible person. Listen to this exchange.
And in fact, we'll give you a list. What we did, in fact, part of it was up there. We did a lot. Look. You know you're a fake. You know that your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake. And most of you, and not all of you. But the people are wise to you. That's why you have a lower approval rating than you've ever had before, times probably three. And when you ask me that question, let me ask you this. Why did Biden apologize?
So first he attacks her, and then he attacks Joe Biden. What did you do in February? Joe Biden. You're bad. You're fake. Joe Biden. What? The question is, what did you do in February, Mr. President?
Why did he write a letter of apology?
She says the people don't care about what Biden did in February. The question is what you did.
Democrats think that I acted too quickly. You know why? Because they really thought that I acted too quickly.
What Democrat said that Trump acted too quickly? I know all my constituents I talked to were afraid we were acting too slowly. Yeah, there were Republicans. Republicans think we acted too quickly. We had the Republicans on Fox News saying, you know what, if a million old people have to die, you know, that's, you know, I'm old, I'm willing to die. Just let them die. We can't let the economy be hurt. I heard that from conservatives. I didn't hear Democrats saying that.
We have done a great job. Now, I could have kept it open. And I could have done what some countries are doing. They're getting beat up pretty badly. I could have kept it open. I thought of keeping it open because nobody's ever heard of closing down a country, let alone the United States of America. But if I would have done that, we would have had hundreds of thousands of people.
You see what he's doing? She's saying, Why didn't you take action in January when South Korea took action, when Taiwan took action? Why didn't you take action to save lives? Everyone said it was coming. The WHO said the pandemic was here. You can't blame them for that. Why didn't you do anything? The president waited 6 weeks. And what he's saying is, I took action 6 weeks later. So now only 30,000 or 40,000 or 50,000 Americans are dead, not millions. Well, thank you, Mr. President, for not killing millions of Americans, for only killing tens of thousands, more than any other country on the planet. Worse than Italy, a country we often think has a dysfunctional government. Worse than Spain. You handled it even worse. And so now you just want to blame everyone else. And I know there are people who are just going to believe the president. They're not going to believe their own ears. They're not going to watch the clips of everything he said in January and February. But let's all face what we know to be true. More than 30,000 Americans are dead in the last 2 weeks. They won't come home to their families. They won't live their lives. They won't come home at all. Tens of thousands more will die because of Donald Trump. He has to own that. South Korea didn't even have to do a quarantine. They didn't have to shut down their economy. $2 trillion out the window because of Donald Trump. Talk to you next week.